glory, His divine story. Every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned. Om Shri Sai Ram. Let us begin Morning Glory by offering ourselves at the lotus feet of Lord Sai, who is the voice, the ears, the heart and soul of Radio Sai. Good morning, dear listeners, and thank you for joining us on this beautiful Thursday morning, February the 11th, 2016. You're tuned to Thursday Live on Radio Sai's Asia Stream, and we're coming to you live from Prashanti Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. The time in our studios right now is actually 41 minutes past 9 a.m., that is Indian Standard Time. My name is Karuna, and I'm honored to be your host for this show from the Divine Valley, which is the seat of the highest sacredness. And everything here is always headed high. The weather, for starters, is showing an upward trend. During the day, the summer is beginning to raise its hot head. But thankfully, our evenings and overnights are still in the very comfortable zone. These days, we have the lows of around 21 degrees Celsius, and I believe it's dropping to late teens in the next few days at night. But the mercury is expected to peak to mid-30s this afternoon, for example. And right now, there is a beautiful breeze blowing through the paradise, with current temperature being 27 degrees Celsius. The good news is that along with the rising temperatures, the energy levels are also surging at Prashanti Nilayam, as two major festivals are around the corner. First, devotees from the Chinese-speaking countries are descending in the ashram by the hour to celebrate the Chinese New Year, which already began on February the 8th, just 2 days ago. Chinese devotees from the countries of the Far East, as well as Southeast Asia and the rest of the world, will jointly celebrate the year of the Red Fire Monkey in the Divine Presence this coming weekend. Please stay tuned to Radio Sai and join us virtually in all the celebrations on Saturday and Sunday as we web stream the program live to you from the Sai Kulwan Thal. Now, I have a little question for you. Red Fire Monkey, this is the year of the Red Fire Monkey. Does it remind you of someone that we pray to a lot? I was quite actually taken aback when a devotee from Hong Kong sent me an email and reminded me, you know, we chant the Chalisa, we pray. So perhaps this is the year of Lord Hanuman. We can call him by any name. So the Red Fire Monkey year may bring goodness and happiness and health to everybody. And in less than a month from now, that is on March the 7th, 2016, Mahashivaratri, the holiest night of the Hindu calendar, will be celebrated with night-long bhajan singing and vigil right here in Prashanti Nilayam. One of the many wonderful things about our ashram is that it has become such a melting pot for world cultures and spiritual traditions. Baba's devotees from the Chinese-speaking countries are as excited to welcome the Chinese New Year in the Sai Kulwan Thal as are the Russians and the Croats who have been practicing their Rudram to prepare for the blessing of chanting it on Mahashivaratri within the holy premises of this ashram. The ashram currently is exceptionally busy, as we can see devotees, especially Oriental devotees, and Westerners from the Eastern Bloc countries pouring in daily. The dining tables in the Western canteen are chock-a-block occupied and everybody appears to be so happy here. Dear brothers and sisters, have you noticed that throughout every Thursday live, different members of Team Radio Sai remind you why life is an eternal celebration here in Prashanti Nilayam? Well, that really is a fact. For instance, soon after the Chinese New Year celebrations and Mahashivaratri, the gratitude program season will begin. That is when Baba's dearest students from various batches of Swami's school and university will present their gratitude program to their beloved founder chancellor, Bhagwan Baba. Then March is exam time, and then school year here will come to a close by April 1st week. Doesn't all this make you wonder, when do these children and their teachers complete the academic syllabus? And where do they find the time for those outstanding sports meet that was held just 1 month ago on January 11th, plus all the dramas and the musical presentations? And let us not forget even for a moment how well Sai schools perform on their national board exams. They rate among India's best and top schools in terms of academic achievement, character development, as well as about the qualification of our teachers and the availability of infrastructure. And this is based on independent surveys by outside agencies. So we are amongst India's top 10 schools right now. And it all goes back to that perfect rhythm of life that Bhagwan Baba has set up here. And it is based on a combination of factors that include dedicated teachers, disciplined students, very efficient time management, rigorous schedule, and of course the magic of Sai grace, which is so palpable in everything that happens here, every single moment, every single day. Truly, there is no place in the universe as easy on the heart and as soothing on the soul as our Prashanti Nilayam, the abode of highest peace. With much gratitude in my heart for the opportunity to be working here in Prashanti Nilayam, today in Morning Glory, I am pleased to bring you the final installment of my colleague, Mr. Bishop Rushdie's Learning with Love conversation with Professor Sudhir Bhaskar. As you may be aware, this conversation was recorded when Professor Sudhir Bhaskar was the director of the Prashanti Nilayam campus of the Sai University and the dean of its Department of Management Studies. And now, Professor Sudhir Bhaskar has taken over as the director of Radio Sai Global Harmony. Now, before I also want to remind you that we have already aired two installments of this conversation between Professor Sudhir Bhaskar and Bishu Prushti. Each conversation is a standalone dialogue. So today, I'm going to play what is pending, the final installment. But first, I have a question for all our listeners of Morning Glory. So dear sisters and brothers, please pay close attention and email me your answers as soon as possible at karuna@radiosai.org. karuna@radiosai.org. And here is the question. When was the spiritual epicenter of our universe, Prashanti Nilayam, inaugurated? I need the full date with month and year of Prashanti Nilayam Ashram's inauguration. And as you email me your answers over the next half hour, be sure to mention your full name, the city and country that you are responding from. All those with correct answers will have their names announced later on this show. And the rules of this game allow you to Google it, go to Radio Sai, find the answer, but get the answer right. The date on which Prashanti Nilayam was inaugurated. With that question to keep you busy and this interview to stimulate your intellectual as well as devotional juices, I'm happy to present to you part 3 of Learning with Love with Professor Sudhir Bhaskar, the director of Radio Sai. Please enjoy.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome to this episode of Learning with Love. Learning with Love is a variant of our series Tryst with Divinity. While Tryst with Divinity gives you the journey of people who have been touched by the love of Bhagwan, their spiritual journey to Sai, Learning with Love is focused conversations with such people where they share their journey with Swami, but not in the conventional manner. Here we ask them to tell us the important lessons of life that they have assimilated living in the proximity of Bhagwan. And it's my honor to have in the studios today Professor Sudhir Bhaskar. We have had an episode of Learning with Love with him before. where he touched upon 4 to 5 important lessons of life. And today is September 5th, 2014. Today is Teacher's Day. That is how it is celebrated all over India. And it's really my privilege to be sitting in front of someone who has been in this work of leading students, guiding students for over 3 decades. He's been teaching, doing research, and has had consulting experience in quality management, re-engineering, marketing electives, complex problem solving, corporate social responsibility, rural development. He has had a plethora of experience in all management areas. And if you have heard the introduction that I had about him in the previous episode, you would know that he has his degrees from the most prestigious institutions of India, IIT Madras, the top engineering institute, as well as he's got his fellowship in management from IIM, which is Indian Institute of Management, again, premier institute of India. And he's worked in TCS for 6 years, which is again India's leading companies in the information technology area. TCS, for those who are not aware, is Tata Consultancy Services. So I will not go into the detail and all the words of introduction that I had with him in the previous episode. I would invite you to listen to the previous episode. But before we go on with this, I would just mention and reiterate that Professor Sudhir Bhaskar is someone who has had that blessed opportunity, which very, very few people have had, to actually serve Bhagwan at very close quarters. He had the opportunity to walk with Bhagwan during darshan times for many years in the 90s. And before that and after that, Bhagwan has entrusted him with many responsibilities at various levels. And until recently, he was the director of the Prashant Nirmal campus of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. So a wealth of experience in teaching, as well as a treasure trove of lessons of life that he has learned at Bhagwan's lotus feet. And today we'll continue from where we left off last time. Welcome once again, sir, to the studios of Radio Sai.
Thank you, Bishu. Sai Ram to all the listeners. Today being the Teacher's Day, and for us, we have the teacher of teachers, the Sadguru.
Yes.
And we were so fortunate that of the 7 billion people plus in the world, Swami had chosen us to keep us with him.
Absolutely.
In his close proximity. And I would even go to the extent of saying that of all the mythological literature which we would have read, and contemporary gurus, saints and sages, I think our dearest Bhagwan is so loving, compassionate, that whenever a doubt occurs to you, even before you ask, he clarifies it in his own style.
Mm-hmm.
In such a way that even a primary school student can understand as much as a PhD or a 60-year-old person also.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami has, in my opinion, used every possible opportunity to drive home a lesson. And it is for us to pick up those lessons. In this session, I would like to bring to your notice a few of the learnings which I have had.
Sure.
Been fortunate sitting at Swami's lotus feet. Many of you would have been wondering, when Swami as God knows everything, past, present, future. Like I just now said, if you have some doubt in your mind, he also knows that. You have a problem, he also knows that. If that is the case, why should we write letters?
Hmm.
You would have found that many of us have this.
Yeah, some people have that feeling that I should not write, and there are equally number of people who feel I should write.
Yeah, and for those few fortunate people who come to Prashanti Nilayam or before 2011, they always would like to take an opportunity to hand over a letter.
Yes.
Either to express in gratitude or with a prayer, or just seeking just plain blessings, depending on the state or situation the one the devotee is in. And he always will strive to see that he is able to hand over the letter to Swami. at the same time, many people, you know, when I was doing duty, they would have seen that, no, with both hands I will be carrying. Then there will be one bag, plastic bag full of letters which Swami would have collected and given us.
Yes.
Many people wonder, does Swami go through all this?
Hmm.
One. The second one is, we also know by post, we get sackfuls of letters every day.
Yes.
2,000, 3,000, I don't know the number, but must be a very large number. Now, people have been asking me, sir, does Swami have time to read all this? Or does somebody else read?
Oh my God.
And tell Swami what is the situation?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that means it only just shows their ignorance about Bhagwan. I would put it that way. And some of them may be genuine in the sense, you know, they have not had an opportunity to either see clarification or observe Swami in close quarters to know.
New to Bhagwan.
That being the case, I would like to narrate an incident which happened, not with me, with one of my students. He also had a similar doubt, thinking that Swami knows everything. So why should we write letters? And the incident which happened was, after lunch, when Swami retires and comes down, he goes through all the post. And there are two types of post Swami calls. One is hand post, which, you know, is collected during darshan time.
Which he personally picks.
He takes it. And the other one is called post, which comes by postal department. So normally Swami goes through all those. And he observed, he had this doubt, and this incident happened next day.
Mm-hmm.
Swami was going through the letters, and he found that, you know, from the stack of letters which I kept, Swami will pick a letter, open it, read it, and put it in the trash can. Some letters he will look at it, cursory glance, not open it, and keep it aside. So this was happening. So the boy had a doubt that, look, the devotee with so much of expectation, with so much of love and concern, and with the urge to communicate certain thing to Swami, would have written the letter, and Swami is not reading them. Only few of them he is reading, few of them he is keeping aside.
So this boy was with Swami.
He was there in front of Swami at that time. And the situation was, Swami was seated in his throne, in a small room, and he was close to, opposite to Swami, close to the wall.
Mm-hmm.
There was a gap of, say, maybe 3-4 inches between him and the wall. The moment this thought crossed his mind, even before it completed, Swami, who was reading a letter, just looked up from the letter to this person, this boy. And he was feeling that maybe Swami was a little upset that he had such a doubt. Being with Swami and, you know, seeing Swami and having experience, you know, got so many interviews from Swami, this fellow still having doubt. So he could not make out what is the type of a expression Swami was having, but nevertheless he was very inquisitive to know what will be next. Then Swami just, you know, with his eyes just beckoned him to come. This boy got scared. Possibly he was saying that, no, Swami would have been upset, because why should I think, after having so much of exposure and experience with Swami? He thought Swami may admonish him. So what he did was, he went back few more inches and hit the wall.
Oh, instead of going to Swami,
going forward, he went back. Then Swami observed this happening, and nevertheless, with a little, this one, with a little more, possibly this time with a smile, said, no, don't worry, come. So he came, went closer. He was kneeling in front of Swami with folded hands, because Swami is going to tell him something. So he was eager to know what Swami is going to tell. Then Swami said, from the letters which he has not yet picked up, he said, pick one letter, any letter you want. So he picked one at random from inside. He took out one letter, and Swami said, open it. So he opened the letter. Then Swami said, take out what is inside. So he took out, and it was a letter, a one-page letter. And Swami told him, read it, not loud, to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And as he started reading, Swami started repeating what was written in the letter.
Oh.
Saying that the date on which the letter is written, dearest Bhagwan, pranams. And then one
so
by
as he was reading, Swami was saying what is there.
What is there.
Oh.
And it it went on till the end, and Swami also said that, look, it is signed by so-and-so person, and under below that he has written his name also and the address. He was telling, what was the content? The content was, he said, Swami, about a month back I had come with my daughter who is not well. I was here for 5 days. I never got an opportunity to sit in the front rows to hand over this letter, one letter, with a prayer to you, Swami, to take care of my daughter. I stayed for 5 days and, you know, I couldn't afford to stay more because he must be from lower middle class family and he had to go back because they do have to get to back to the job. So he said, Swami, I waited. With a little bit of disheartenment, I went back. And he also said, continued saying that, Swami, after I went back, I went and showed to the doctors and they started treatment, which, you know, before they said it's not possible, they started a treatment, and in within 15 days, she's perfectly all right, Swami.
Wow.
And I am now writing this letter to pay my gratitude, express my gratitude to you, Swami, though you did not take my letter, though you did not look at me, you did not give me an assurance, verbal assurance, but you did take care of my daughter and cured her, which the doctors initially said it is not possible to cure. I would like to express my gratitude, pranams at Divine Lotus Feet with his name, and that person was from Calcutta. So you can just imagine, from Calcutta to come to Puttaparthi, it will take 2 days, 2 days to go back, and he was here for 4 or 5 days. It's almost 10 days here. The moment Swami completed whatever he was reading, he fell at Swami's lotus feet and was holding Swami's. Then he asked, because we are all very intelligent people, the boy asked Swami, Swami, since you know everything, is there a need for us to write a letter?
Mm-hmm.
The Swami has not seen this letter. It is still in the stack.
Yes.
Not even glanced at it.
It's a random letter which that boy picked up.
Picked up. Then, now, these are the important things, you know, which Swami tries to communicate to us. Then Swami said, look, because large number of saints and sages and devotees prayed for years and years and years, I came in this avatar. Having come, it is now your responsibility to connect with me and to contact me. How will you connect with me and contact me when you are not in front of me? It is only through letters. And then Swami said, when you write a letter, that message already comes to me. So all the things I know already. But when your letter reaches me, when I look at the letter, I will be thinking about you. When you are writing the letter, you are thinking about me. And when I see the letter, I am thinking about you.
Wow.
What do you want? You want me to know or you want me to think about you? It is for that reason I want you to write letters. I encourage people to write letters. And then Swami said, this is to establish the link, the contact, the bondage between you and me. Or what we call the hotline.
Yes.
And then Swami further explained how this thing works. And Swami said, when you are writing a letter, what do? You try to use the best of the words, the best possible expression, the best possible handwriting. Because you know that I am going to see and you would like me to be pleased about what you are expressing. So that means what? All your thought, word and deed are concentrated on me. For that duration of writing letter, you have perfect Trikarna Suddhi. That Trikarna Suddhi is the one which communicates to me.
The very act of writing the letter.
With Trikarna Suddhi, please understand.
Yes, with purity.
And that is the one established that. And in the process, what are we actually trying to do? We are trying to do perfect. That act of communicating and connecting to Swami, you are trying to do with perfection.
when you're trying to strive for that perfection, that is the one which is actually helping you to connect to me. And when you connect to me, because what comes in that particular letter format is with that purity, I will connect back to you. So full cycle is completed. You to me and I to you. By this process, you will find that it is very essential for people to write letters.
It's amazing.
That's what I'm saying, when Sadhguru is, that means he is teaching a lesson in a way we can really understand for the rest of our life. Now, I would like to ask a simple question to all the listeners. How many of you are still writing letters?
I think a lot of people still do write letters.
Yes. But there are a lot of people who will say that, no, if I want to write a letter, who is going to read it? Even if I send it to Puttaparthi, in Swami's name, will somebody read it? That is not the situation. The situation is, when you are writing, it has already reached Swami.
Reached Swami.
And my suggestion is, in your house there will be an altar.
Yes.
That letter, you keep it in the altar.
Altar.
You don't have to post it to Puttaparthi.
People here, when they come to Prashantriyam, they place it in Samadhi.
Those who come here, but those who don't come.
Bhagavan Sannidhi.
Yeah. That also, that means what you are offering to Swami to actually see your letter.
See, yeah.
So that, no, what do you call that now? Full cycle gets completed.
Complete.
And that's what now, Purnam it is. Circle is a Purnam, isn't it?
Yes.
And whether we prayed and Swami has come and allowed us to be with him or get this intention, is we don't know. But having got such a fantastic opportunity, should we let go of it? This is the one I thought now is very important for all of us today and for future also.
Yes.
Future also, that it is very important for us to do this particular one.
I think once you put down in black and white your feelings, there is also, as you mentioned, that whole process, it's almost a sadhana where you empty your heart out to the Lord, and what you write is something that comes from the deepest core of your being, and this is something which you share in confidence only with Him, and it definitely serves to make you feel lighter. You feel, you know, you have offered it to Bhagavan now. Now that you have communicated it to him, now that you have given the problem to him, now you don't have to think about it.
Now, it's not necessary we communicate only when we have problems. I can share with Swami joy.
Joy, absolutely.
I got promoted.
Yes.
I'm getting married.
Yes.
I'm going to have a child.
Yes.
So I bought a house. I bought a car. I got a promotion.
Yes.
You name it.
Gratitude, letters of gratitude.
That's why they say, when you share with somebody a problem, it gets lightened.
Yes.
And when you share joy, it gets multiplied.
Doubled, yes.
And with whom are we doing it? We are doing with Sadhguru,
yes.
God of gods. It's multiplying many, 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 many times. When you say, when Swami says, I'm 1,000 mothers,
yes.
That means one mother you communicate, 1,000 mother means that much more intense it is going to be.
Yes.
And obviously, our benefits also are going to be that much.
Yes.
But only thing again, striving for perfection.
Yes.
And maintaining that Trikana Shuddhi. Because otherwise, no, everybody will say, I wrote, scribble something on a piece of paper and say, okay, I've connected myself with Swami. And why is he not responding to me? The thing is, the contact has not taken place because that purity.
Thought, word and deed, there has to be purity.
And strive for perfection. That, I thought, no, this is one lesson which, you know.
I think that's why, I mean, the letter writing is not just any letter writing. It is actually a sadhana. It's a very, very powerful sadhana. And it's a very simple sadhana. So, that is why I think every devotee perhaps should do this. It's one of the easiest ways to connect yourself with the Lord.
Yeah, because a lot of people ask me when I've been recently in abroad, how do you still maintain your contact with Swami? In the past, we could make out when you see Swami and so smiles at us, then no, it's okay. Now he's trying to avoid us, we know. But now, how do you go about it? Now, how will we go about? Now, he is such in pure state that now he is always with you.
Always.
Provided you want him to connect.
Yes.
And that's the reason why that we should be doing this particular exercise. I would like to narrate one incident which happened when we started doing the duty which you were just referring to. That, following Swami during the darshan time and then other activity with Swami is to associate us during the day. Those days, this happened after
1993 when Swami asked us to join. So myself and my colleague, you know, from the university, we both used to follow Swami. And the basic idea at that time was to see that the devotees do not obstruct Swami's movement unnecessarily. In the past, you know, people could get up, come close to Swami, talk to Swami, take Padnamaskar and go back, because there was no restrictions at that time, but no, slowly some restrictions were being coming. So we used to follow Swami from behind. And since those days in Saikalwanthal, both sides of Swami they used to sit.
Yes.
And when only Mandir was there with no Saikalwanthal, only one side the devotees used to sit. So it was always possible for Swami to look at one side.
Yes.
And you know, the other, from the other side, there's no restriction.
Nobody could just walk away a little bit also sometimes.
But here you go, walk from one side, you go to touch somebody else on the other side. So it's good that, you know, every devotee is getting so many chances. But the thing was, you know, we wanted to be careful. So what we used to do is, you know, it used to have a pin drop silence. And soft music used to go on. So anybody whispering anything also, it used to get magnified. And we did not want any noise to be there, because Swami is going to talk to, communicate with somebody, or give instruction. We didn't want him to be distracted by other noises, so that the communication, I mean, he is able to hear clearly, because there is no point asking Swami, please repeat, I didn't understand. So given that particular fact, you know, what we used to do is, both of us, we would look at who is sitting on the left side or the right side and communicate to each other by visually only, with eyes, hey, please be careful about that fellow who is there. So he is likely to come forward, because you can see the body movement, or yes. No, the body language tells no, whether he is not desperate to do, come to Swami or something. So we normally used to communicate like this, only with visually, no words, nothing. This used to happen, and I would think about 10 days after we started this duty, one day Swami was walking and stopped. And just before that, I think I mentioned something to, with visually to my colleague. Swami turned and looked at me and said, hey, what did you tell that fellow? To my colleague. Hey, yes. Enche pe vartati? I went down on my knees. I said, Swami, I didn't say anything. Yes, verbally I didn't say anything.
Yes.
I thought I was smart saying that. No, Swami, ne matladaledu. I didn't talk to him or give instruction. Then, hey, is it chippe kada? Something you told. I just kept quiet. Now it's getting... But I always had this feeling like, no, now is the time Swami wants to tell something to us. I should not miss that lesson. If I keep on talking, the discussion or the thread may go somewhere else, and I may miss the chance of listening to what Swami wants to tell me. If not today, maybe 1 month or 2 months or 1 year later he will tell me. But I was just wondering whether why should I miss this opportunity today when he wants to talk to us? So I was just quiet. And then Swami, looking at me, with a little bit that mischievous smile of Swami, you know that, no, when yes. he says, now I cornered you, now I know what it is, and now let me, you know, that type of thing which comes. I was just enjoying that particular scene, and then Swami said, Chudu, naaku munde kaadu, venakkalu kuda kallunnai. Swami said,
wow,
see, I have not only eyes in the front, but even the back I have eyes. So I have seen you, what you are trying to communicate to him. Now what do you want me to do?
That's it.
Now what do you want me to do? So I thought this is an opportunity for me. I should take one more Padmavaskaram. So I held on to Swami's lotus feet and said, Swami, not only just behind you, Swami, you also know what is happening in the other part of this world, which is just opposite, which is in America. For India, America is just opposite. Yes. At this instant of time, what is happening in America, also you know Swami. Saying that, no, you are omnipresent.
Yes.
Swami was also trying to tell me that he is omnipresent.
Yes.
But I also was trying to accept the fact that Swami, not only physically you are here, but you are also there at this instant of time. Then the most important one. I was holding to Swami's lotus feet. And Swami now patted me on my cheek and said, idi jnapakam pettukunte neeku saripothundi. If you remember this fact, it will be enough for you.
Wow.
Just see how very subtly Swami could have made the statement, do you believe I am omnipresent? You will say, yes, Swami. Ah, that will be enough. But see how you are trying to communicate to a very simple incident.
Mm.
This instance is very simple. This is not...
He brought it out of you only.
And use the situation, communicate in such a way that, no, I don't think I will forget for the rest of my life. But I'm quite sure the people who have heard also may not forget for quite some time.
Yes.
The thing is, he is omnipresent. If you remember this, it will be good. That means, continuously I should remember, for all my acts, all my words, all my thoughts, I should be aware that Swami is continuously present. So for a sadhaka, or a seeker, for a devotee, just see how beautiful Swami is trying to communicate.
And this is extremely powerful. Because I think if we always live in that awareness that He is watching, that He is there, then I don't think we will ever do anything which will not please Him.
Yeah.
And then we are on the right path.
One more lesson which I learnt, I'd like to mention today. This happened again in 1993. Staff members were seated and we were praying to Swami to interact with us. Basically asking for interview, which is the most cherished thing.
Yes.
And in case the number is very large, Swami used to come to college and now we have an audiovisual room that's specially, which is now isolated and now it can be exclusively meant for. So Swami could spend time interacting, and that is the time when Swami will allow us to ask questions, seek yes. clarifications, and you know, He will provide the information. So we were all seated and then we were praying to Swami. And that is the day actually when Swami said, from tomorrow you come and do the duty. That
okay.
was it. So okay. it was going on, and then suddenly what happened was, after blessing us, Swami was trying to go away and he turned back. And then looking at me, Swami asked me this question, what's your salary?
Mm-hmm.
To be very frank, I was taken aback. In the public, why will Swami ask me this question? And I was hesitating to tell what my salary was. Not that I'm ashamed or no, I'm very proud or no, I don't want anybody to know what is my salary is. And you know, in India, salary of a faculty member is much, much less than what you get in industry.
Yes.
So I was thinking that no, I should not embarrass Swami in front of everybody. But again, my learning was not complete. By not opening my mouth, I missed an opportunity to learn something from Swami. I just kept quiet, just seated there. I didn't make any attempt. Swami just looked at me, and there was no response coming from my side. Swami just walked off.
Mm-hmm.
It took me quite a while to realize that, look, I lost an opportunity.
He asked you something, you were supposed to reply, and you didn't do it.
And the reply, even if I don't give verbally, it should have flashed in my mind what my salary is, that number. That itself would have communicated to him, possibly, and give me an answer. But if the answer is going to be, lesson is going for everybody who's going to be around, then I have to give a verbal answer, isn't it?
Yes.
Because based on that, Swami will give us the lesson.
Yes.
After this incident, I forgot about it. I thought for a couple of days and then I said, missed a chance. Now, how do I go back and ask tell Swami, that day you asked me salary. This is my salary, Swami. Now you tell me what you want to tell me. You can't do all those things.
Yes.
So I forgot about it. But Swami doesn't forget. When He wants to tell a lesson to you, He will teach you that lesson somehow or the other at the appropriate time. It was almost about a year and a half after the incident
mm-hmm.
of this what happened. We were in the darshan line, we were coming, and Swami, opposite to the car garages, there's a line where now normally some VIPs are allowed to sit. That means those who take permission from the secretary and others, you know, who got something very important or somebody dignitary, or they normally are allowed to sit there. They were seated, and Swami, normally everybody is there. So Swami was coming, took a turn, and this is on the right side of the devotees. The devotees is seated to the right of Swami. I was standing at that time, that day, following Swami from the right side. Normally I go on the left side, but that day I was going on the right side. And left side opposite to them are where our faculty members and old students sit. It so happened that day, as Swami was taking a turn, I just observed one gentleman was trying to be very desperate to give a letter to Swami, and then I could see that now he has folded his legs and he was trying to come on to his knees, and the body language,
yes,
what all the attempts he's trying to do, he's going to. So I was trying to be very careful. So what I did was I walked a little more closer to Swami, so that in case he does something, I can just intervene and then said, "Brother, sit down," so that if Swami permits, then you can. Swami was actually looking at the left side where the teachers were seated, and this gentleman gave a cover, who was holding a cover and trying to offer it to Swami, and he almost came up almost up to Swami, like thrusting it onto Swami. Very casually, without even looking at this gentleman, Swami picked that letter from him and immediately gave it back to me.
Mm-hmm. But he's looking at the side.
Looking at the side.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are things, which we learn, to anticipate, yes. The moment Swami turned the hand, I took the letter. The gap between Swami and me was only about 6 inches.
Mm-hmm.
So when Swami took the next step, I was in front of the gentleman. What this gentleman did was, he held my hand, in which I was having his cover.
Mm-hmm.
He held my hand and said, little loud, not like whisper, but not very loud for everybody to hear. He said, "Be careful with this cover, huh? There is 10 lakhs draft in it."
Mm-hmm.
He was telling me, because Swami gave very casually, he thought I will be very casual about it, possibly. And then so he said, holding to my hand. Normally nobody does that.
Yes.
So there's part of indiscipline, anything can happen after that. I was not trying to pay any attention to him, because that's not my job. My job is with Swami.
Yes.
So I was only looking at Swami. And the moment he said this, I was little scared what will be the type of reaction from Swami. Swami stopped, took one step back, without looking at me or him, took the cover from my hand. With the moment Swami stretched his hand, I gave it to him. Took the cover from me and dropped it in the lap of this person, and Swami walked.
Oh my God.
So when Swami took one step back, I also took one step back.
Swami didn't look at you at all.
Not look at me, nor with that gentleman.
And he took back the letter and dropped it on.
Dropped it. And so when Swami took the next step forward, I came in front of him. He picked up the letter. I was desperate. Said, "Please take it, please take it, please take it." When Swami has dropped it, how can I take it? I said, "Brother, that's it." We went forward. And when we go forward, there's one other area where you will find that, Central Trust, office bearers and who are working various organizations, and some others also sit, general devotees. As we are proceeding, I observed in the third line, a not well-to-do person was there. He must have been mid-30s. Not well-to-do, because you can see from his attire. And he was holding a cover in his hand, little bit crumpled, and very hesitating. He was not trying to show it to Swami. He was just holding it, very hesitatingly saying that, should I give it to Swami or not? Should I give it to Swami or not? It was just, Swami just saw him from a distance, almost 5-6 steps ahead, and then very eagerly walked towards him. Then Swami stretched his hand, asking for the cover from that gentleman, and he took it. And turned towards me and gave it and said, "Keep this carefully."
Same day?
Same day. It would have been about 3 or 4 minutes.
Oh my God.
He gave it to me and said, "Keep it carefully." Now, already my hand was full. Suppose I keep this cover in those, and suppose suddenly somewhere else Swami asks, "Give me," I won't even know which is the letter, because So what I did was kept it in my pocket, so that it'll be easy for me to give it to Swami. So we continued, and the darshan continued. Swami came onto the veranda. He had called some people for the interview, took them into the interview room, and interview got over about 40 minutes or so. After interview was over, they all came out. Swami just opened the door a little from the gap, looked at me and beckoned, "Come in." No words, yes. Can finger, can make out that, "Please come in. Come in, lopal ra." So immediately I went. I was not having anything in my hand. So I went. Then as I walked into the room, Swami said, "Where is the cover I gave you?" Fortunately, it was in my pocket.
Yes.
So immediately I took it out and gave it to Swami. Then Swami had closed the door. Swami and me alone were there inside. He didn't take the letter. Swami said, "Open it."
Mm-hmm.
I opened it. Then Swami said, see what is inside, take it out. So I put my fingers and took out. It was a 2.5 inches by 3 inches piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
Small piece of paper. There something was printed and I could make out it is a counterfoil of State Bank of India.
Mm-hmm.
Swami said, read what is written in that. So I looked at the details. It is a deposit made to Central Trust account. And the amount, can you guess? 10 rupees.
10 rupees.
10 rupees was the amount written there. And then Swami said, Naki divadaniki rend potla bhojanam cheyaledu. He didn't have meals for 2 times to save this money to give it to me. When you talk about sacrifice, even if I'm wealthy, if I give some surplus, that's not sacrifice. Sacrifice is which affects you without drastically affecting you. That means consciously, willingly giving something. Then Swami said, this is more precious to me than that 10 lakhs draft which the fellow was trying to give.
Swami told you that. Wow.
This is not the story end. The most important lesson is now. The next statement was, Swami said, this is the money I am giving to you people as salary. I really broke down. Since I was in the interview room, not that outside also I would have done the same thing. I held on to Swami's lotus feet with tears rolling down my cheeks. I placed my head on Swami's lotus feet and then prayed to Swami. Swami, please give us that discretion so that we will do things for which we are being provided things to provide. Just imagine all the institutions which are there are being run by Central Trust money, because we don't charge fees, hospital don't charge fees. All the money is coming from Central Trust. And who are the people who are donating to Central Trust? It is these people who are giving us money. And that is the money which we are receiving. From that day, you won't believe it. Every pie I spend, which is my salary or whatever my income is, I think twice. In the college, we spend a lot of money. We prepare budgets, asking for so much money to be given by Central for this academic year. At least 5, 6, 10 times we go through the budget. Every pie which you are asking, we ask questions. So that now we are very conscious that no, the money which is being provided by those devotees are not wasted, not spent on frivolous things. They are meant for the rightful purpose so that we get the best possible productivity for the money which they have given. Because then only they get the joy, isn't it? Even people who are given money come to know it's being used properly, then will they give us, isn't it?
Absolutely.
That is the one which, you know, it you can say whatever you can call. That actually changed myself from that moment of how I should be looking at money. Swami actually taught what the value of money is.
And even if you're getting very less here,
it's not less.
It's so precious.
It's not less. Let me be very clear. It is not less. Like Swami says, money should be like shoe. If it is too loose, also is bad.
Yes.
If it is too tight, also is bad. Swami gives us the amount which is sufficient for us. When I use the word sufficient, whatever is needed for the future requirements and all that also is catered to. There is nothing now which is going to be, we are only from now hand to mouth, we are existing. No. We are taken care of very well. But if you spend it like a spendthrift, all that is gone. But if you use it very consciously,
it gets multiplied in your system. That's the thing experience which I have. In this context, it happened before this incident. Since I was getting salary, in those days the income tax rules are such, you know, even if you get a little salary, you have to keep on paying taxes. So I thought, instead of paying tax to government, I can save by donating it to the trust.
Yes.
Because now we get exemption.
Yes.
And the idea was that, no, if we give to government, we don't know. We hear of so much of corruption and all. They say that if any 10 rupees, 100 rupees to be spent for any welfare activity,
yes,
80% goes in administrative expenses and pilferage, and only 20% will be actually be. So if I'm going to give 1000 rupees, only 200 rupees is going to get
utilized.
So not full. Whereas if I give to an organization like Central Trust, almost all, if 100 rupees I give, all 100 rupees is going to be spent.
Yes.
So I thought, no, I would like my money to be spent for good purpose. So thinking that, I gave a check to Central Trust, to went to the office and gave a check saying that, no, for my donation towards the Central Trust, for they get corpus and other things. I gave it and came for duty. So it's not that somebody has gone and told Swami anything like that. Swami came for darshan, finished the darshan, and I was seated. Swami came there and said, why did he give the check?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Swami didn't want us to go back. No, Swami has given us, and we go and give back. We know what it will be like. No. Then Swami said, why did he give? Then I said, Swami, it is because selfishness I gave this money. He said, what? I said, Swami, I am going to get tax exemption. And instead of paying tax to government, I am giving it to the Central Trust so that they can use it properly. I know, because every rupee is going to be used properly. Whereas I give to government, you know what happens to government? You know, we see in papers, so many people giving talks in front of Swami, and Swami also mentioning that some of the things which are happening. I said, Swami, only with that selfishness and I give Swami.
You are very frank.
Yeah, because with Swami, you have to be very frank, because nothing you can hide from him. Then this is again an important lesson. That's why I told, whenever Swami talks, there's always a lesson. Only you have to capture it. Then Swami said, that is all fine, but government also has to run. So where will government get money if all the people in the country are start going to do this? How is government going to get money?
Oh.
Just see the way Swami thinks about. I said, Swami, I am not going to support the whole government. Just out of millions of people, one fellow. Then Swami said, if people like you don't pay taxes, how will government run? I said, running the government is not my business, Swami. I am selfish. I want. And Swami said, no. You listen to me. You will pay taxes. Believe it or not, from that day, I pay full taxes. Even though there are so many provisions available for tax planning, tax exemptions, I don't do that.
Oh my God.
To date, I am the highest taxpayer in the institute.
Everyone must be thinking something wrong with you.
Let them think. Because I am following Swami's instruction. In the process, did I lose? Swami is taking care. He is taking care of my son. He has got the best of the education. He is working the best of the institutions. Nothing short. So, if we follow Swami's instruction, however out of place it may be for your, what you can call,
limited
understanding. Or I'd put it, based on your intellectual analysis,
yes,
you may find that, no, that is not correct. It is very essential that, no, one more thing which I learned from this is, as a good citizen, you are supposed to pay taxes.
Yes.
Even if you look at Arthashastra of Kautilya, yes, he talks about, no, 25% yes, of your salary, whatever income you get, you pay taxes. Yes, that's how the whole government can sustain. If everybody who has to pay taxes religiously and rightfully start paying, do you think any country will be backward? When we try to find all the loopholes which are possible, and who has created the loopholes? Another gentleman like me only, isn't it?
Yes.
It's not created by something else. Another gentleman sitting in that, central board of direct taxes or in the government, he has only formulated. He would have formulated with possible loopholes. But if we are truthful,
we are participating in regenerating the country and the society. That was the lesson which now came directly to me.
Paying taxes is such an important part of our duty to society.
And if society is happy, am I not going to be happy?
Yes.
Because I am also part of society.
Society.
I told Swami that I was selfish. That means I wanted to be happy only. And in the process, if society is not going to be happy, I am alone going to be happy, do you think that happiness will last? If all my friends and others know all around me are suffering, do you think my happiness will continue? So that's why if we can keep God, society and me last, then you know how it works, you just see. A very practical way Swami demonstrated. One, the value for money.
Yes.
And the need for us doing our rightful duty.
You cannot shirk any responsibility to society in the name of
being smart.
Being smart. Or in the name of being religious. Swami always told us not to box spirituality into one particular zone of our lives. Spirituality pervades everything and it's more so with our responsibility to society. I think this whole incident you mentioned has so many dimensions to it. I mean, right from the time Swami asked you, what is your salary, to the way the whole thing has unfolded, and every incident where, you know, he rejecting that 10 lakhs, accepting this 10 rupees, and then telling you the value of every single rupee.
For Swami, anything is possible, isn't it? But he is trying to drive home that lesson into us, because that is the primary purpose, I think, now why Avatar has come.
Yes.
So that now he can uplift us.
Yes.
And we can get only uplifted. He has told us how to get uplifted. And if we don't put in that effort, we are not going to get uplifted. It has to be our effort. But he has made, that's why he says, Gamyam Margam Sulabham Chese. Swami has made Gamyam, our destination, and the path for that destination, he has made it so simple for us. And these are all small things which we can implement without any problem. Just think about twice. If you look at ceiling on desires, which Swami talks about, he's just asking you to just think second time, do you really want to spend that money?
Yes. Do you really need it? Do you really want, is it a want or a need, as we discuss?
And secondly, it's very simple. It may be that I want to have one more cup of coffee. It's not that it's going to be an asset which I'm going to get buying another dress or something else. No. Even for one cup of coffee, which you're going to ask, Swami is asking you to just think. He didn't say don't take it, but think whether you need it.
Yes.
If yes, go ahead. Swami said don't stop it.
Yes. Only thing, don't overindulge, that's all.
And this is where really our spirituality is all about, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Our sadhana, what you call about, or no,
yes,
progress which we talk about, or the gamyam which we talk about, moksham or liberation which you are talking about. All these things are, though they look very fancy and, you know, nice to talk about it and not for practicing it, Swami has actually told us how simple it is to follow them and reach those goals, destinations. And I think it is possible in one lifetime to do that. In one lifetime, if we are just able to follow Swami and reach, we will definitely reach a destination. Like I give this example to our students. In Swami's case, once we enter and decide to follow Swami's instructions, it's like a one-way tunnel.
you can't
come back. You'll only reach the destination at the other end.
Yes. Yes. You're already on the path.
You're on. That's all. You will definitely reach the destination. There's no choice for you. And Swami ensures that it happens.
The sooner you learn the lessons, the better.
Yeah. And quicker you realize.
Quicker.
You go to the end.
Yes. And when you're talking about ceiling on desires, I remember when it comes to service, Bhagavan is very clear that there is no point, in trying to get money from some corporate or trying to get money from somewhere and do some service activity. I mean, that is not what Bhagavan wanted. He was very clear in that discourse, which he gave on service sometime in 1985. It was a very powerful discourse. And then Bhagavan says that he wants service only from the money that you have saved. We're following ceiling on desires.
And also he has said in one situation that service need not be oriented with money at all.
Yes.
Like for example, he talked about going to that hospital.
Yes.
Just to talk to people and provide a little bit of solace or little bit of comfort. What's the money involved? There is no money involved, isn't it? It is my time and my love which I am trying to share. And Swami wants that type of service. Another no huge hospital or no another big water project or no you name it, huge DJP program. I am not sure no that's what Swami is expecting from us. If every individual can do that little bit which is from him, based on his time and energy, I think that's enough. In fact, when we go to hospital visit, many times we have the temptation, there'll be some small child, shall we buy some chocolates and go and give it to them? And Swami once while talking about hospital visit, Swami said, no, you go. Yes. You are important, not your chocolates.
You should spend that time. You should share that love.
If the moment you try to give chocolates or something, those patients' attention is totally diverted and what you want to communicate, your love, that get dissipated. So your full exercise of doing seva is goes futile.
Even though you narrated just two or three instances today, but they are so powerful and there are so many dimensions to it, I think this is something worth ruminating on for years to come. And by virtue of working with Bhagwan at very close quarters, you have had such profound experiences, and I am really grateful to Bhagwan that you shared this with us, because very few people have had this opportunity to interact with Bhagwan at this level, and you were recipient to get all these messages, and now we are sharing
them. I don't think I am great, but let me be very clear. I think it is purely Swami's grace, or I will call it now what we call as a special grace Swami has conferred, which allowed me to learn these lessons.
Yes. Thank you very much, sir, for coming and continuing.
I would like
this
to
series.
Thank all our listeners to being patient. And since this is an extempore one, maybe I did not use the choicest of the words to communicate, but I thought...
I don't think so, because I think what you wanted to communicate has been stated so clearly and so carefully. So I think definitely the message has reached so many hearts. Thank you so much, sir, for coming.
Sairam,
dear listeners, and welcome back to Morning Glory on Thursday Live. We are coming to you from Prashanthi Nilayam, India on the 11th of February 2016. It is 42 minutes past 10 a.m. Indian Standard Time in the ashram right now, and you just heard part 3 of a Learning with Love interview with Professor Sudhir Bhaskar, who is now the director of Radio Sai. Professor Sudhir Bhaskar was in conversation with my colleague, Brother Bishu Prushti. I hope you enjoyed this interview as much as I did. Please share your feedback with us by email. As always, you can reach us at listener@radiosai.org. And now, it's my pleasure to announce the names of all the listeners of Morning Glory who got the right answer for the question I had posed earlier on in the show, about the date when Prashanthi Nilayam was inaugurated. Well, the correct answer is it was on the occasion of Bhagwan Baba's 25th birthday celebrations on November 23rd, 1950. That's when Bhagwan inaugurated Prashanthi Nilayam, our heaven on earth. Now, the following listeners responded to this quiz, and I'm honored to read out their names on Morning Glory for you right now. Brother Kaushal M. from Bangalore, India. Congratulations, brother. Sister Sandhya Rani P., also from India. Brother U. Sai Krishna from Hyderabad, India. Sister Sunita Menon from Bahrain in the Middle East. Sister Mrs. Padmavati, who is also known as our show fan, that is her email ID, from Chennai, Tamil Nadu. Sister Suhana Patel from Johannesburg, South Africa. Our very own Isha Narayanan from Sydney, Australia. Isha is a Radio Sai volunteer who has designed our entire comic series on Bhagwan's childhood and life. Congratulations, Isha, if you're still awake in Sydney. Sister Bhuvana Ganesh from Bangalore, India. Brother Bala Manian from Bahrain. Brother Tarun Kanti Ghosh from Kolkata, India. Sister Bhuvana Sankar from Novi, Michigan, USA. Well, she didn't get the answer, but she said she wrote to say she loves Radio Sai and she was going to bed. So good night, Sister Bhuvana. Brother Hemant Kumar Korba, who is a young listener of Radio Sai from India. I beg your pardon, Hemant Kumar is from a place called Korba within India. Sister Natasha Singh, and did not state where she is from. And Brother Devraj T.N. from Abu Dhabi. Congratulations to all the listeners who participated. I thank you for your participation and very important awareness of when the spiritual capital of the universe was actually inaugurated. Now, as we have just entered the Chinese New Year of the Red Fire Monkey and we are celebrating it in this coming weekend, in Prashanti, let us conclude Morning Glory with some bhajans by the Chinese devotees from Singapore. Meanwhile, here's wishing our listeners Gong Hei Fat Choi. May our very own Red Fire Monkey God, Sri Hanuman Ji, bless us with pure and sincere devotion for our Sai Rama as he has for Lord Rama. Please enjoy the bhajans and till we meet next Thursday, be well, keep seeking and do whatever it takes to stay inspired and positive. For starters, avoid any gloom and doom type of environments. Let's just be joyful, happy and grateful. Have a saisam awesome day ahead, please. And Jai Sai Ram.
Ganesha, 我皈依 Ganesha.
Ganesha, 我皈依 Ganesha.
Ganesha, 我皈依 我皈依 Ganesha.
Ganesha, 我皈依
我皈依 Ganesha. Ganesha, 我皈依 我皈依 Ganesha. Ganesha, 我皈依 我皈依 Ganesha.
Ganesha, 我皈依 我皈依 Ganesha.
赛事主 我皈依 我皈依 赛事主.
Ganesha, 我皈依 我皈依
赛事主. 赛事主 我皈依 我皈依 赛事主. 赛事主
赛事主
我皈依 我皈依 赛事主.
赛事主 我皈依 我皈依
赛事主. 赛事主 我皈依 我皈依 赛事主.
赛事主 我皈依 我皈依 赛事主.
赛事主 我皈依 我皈依 赛事主.
赛事主
Ganesha, 我皈依 我皈依 Ganesha.
Ganesha,
我皈依 我皈依 Ganesha.
Ganesha,
我皈依 我皈依 Ganesha.
Ganesha,
我皈依 我皈依 Ganesha.
Ganesha, 我皈依 我皈依 Ganesha.
赛事主 我皈依 我皈依 赛事主.
赛事主 我皈依 我皈依 赛事主.
赛事主 我皈依 我皈依 赛事主.
赛事主 我皈依 我皈依
赛事主. 赛事主 我皈依 我皈依 赛事主.
赛事主
我皈依 我皈依 赛事主.
赛事主
我皈依 我皈依 赛事主.
赛事主 我皈依 我皈依 赛事主.
Ganesha, 我皈依 我皈依 Ganesha.
Sai Nada Bhagavan, you take on human form again to lead all sentient beings to salvation. You transmit Dharma and truth, perfection and beauty. we pursue Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. We take refuge. Faith, hope, and charity we uphold. With these, the goal in life can be achieved. Prema, Satya, Shirdi. Three are one. You are the Trinity. You and I are one. You are the Divine Mother. Mother's love is the warmest. Love is the foundation of the universe. Only love creates miracles. How can I forget your teachings and inspiration? All is one. See unity in diversity. With your mercy, I start a new life. Observe truth and righteousness and welcome the great victory.
The Waves of Bliss, our series of audio specials based on Sai Bhajans, produced in the Radio Sai Studios as an offering to Bhagavan on his historic 90th birthday celebrations.
Thank you. है।